This is Scott Becker with Becker's Healthcare. I'm thrilled today to be joined by Jamie Tynan, the Director of Strategy at Atrium Health. We're going to talk to Jamie about career, motivation, business, and a little bit about strategy. Jamie, let me start with a question to ask you to introduce yourself, and then we'll get going with the substance of the call.
Sure. Wonderful, Scott. Thank you so much for having me on your podcast this afternoon. My name is Jamie Tynan. As Scott mentioned, I'm the Director of Strategy at Atrium Health, and my background is in strategic planning, business development, and most recently in post-merger integration. So working with new partners, helping to integrate back office and clinical functions to hopefully reduce the cost of care for patients, but also improve operations as well.
Jamie, can I get you to give us just a little bit of background on Atrium Health, sort of the size of the organization, your director of strategy for recent acquisitions or mergers? Just a couple quick bullet points about Atrium Health.
Atrium Health is a $10 billion healthcare organization located in Charlotte, North Carolina, and we have roughly 65,000 employees between North and South Carolina, and our new strategic combination with Navicent Health in Macon, Georgia, will bring additional teammate strength to our system.
Now, let me ask you a question, and then we'll get into some of the questions I sent you. Did you ever think you'd end up being director of strategy for a $10 billion plus organization?
Great question. I would have to say no. The reason why is when I was early in my career, I thought I wanted to work in investment banking. And so looking at my career trajectory, I actually started in banking and moved into healthcare consulting, doing strategic planning for a variety of healthcare clients. So the idea of being a director of strategy for as large an organization as Atrium Health was certainly not something that I had aspired to early in my career.
And let me ask you the next question. You've had this amazing career success. You're with a phenomenal organization. Your best advice in a nutshell for professional women or professionals in general trying to achieve career and professional success?
Wonderful question. I think the one thing I've learned in my career from mentors and sponsors that have supported me is that I should never be afraid to ask for what I want in my career. And I think early in my career, I always felt that if you did great work, if you kept your head down, that people would notice your accomplishments, would reward you with promotions, and simply acknowledge you for the great work that you do. And I think in today's environment, specifically women who are working in the professional world, need to not be afraid to ask for that raise or ask for that promotion based on their career accomplishments and feel comfortable speaking up when they want additional roles or projects that are going to help amplify the career.
So very important to ask for what you want. And we hear that a lot, that there's almost a tendency for men to be more aggressive to ask for what they want, women to hold back a little bit. And now you have a generation of women that are more comfortable asking for what they want, a really healthy development. And growth. And let me ask you a follow-up question. You're from a diverse population. Any special advice for people from diverse population?
Absolutely. So speaking of diverse populations and cultures, I grew up in a culture where speaking up and asking for what you want was not necessarily accepted. And it could come across a certain way to others, whether you are being too aggressive or not respecting the process of having to work for a certain period of time and then being noticed. And what I would say to you, particularly women of color or those from underrepresented groups, is that we now work in an environment where it is perfectly acceptable for you to ask for that next project. Always do good work and come from a perspective of a good track record, a solid track record of accomplishments and achievements. But don't stop there. Don't be afraid to ask your boss, ask your supervisor to take on that stretch assignment. Or if you feel so comfortable, asking for that promotion or that raise based on the good work that you do. So I think the tides have turned a little bit for women of color, underrepresented groups, to feel more confident in being more assertive and asking for what they want.
Thank you. Two follow-up questions. Have you faced any setbacks and how did you recover? And then I'm going to ask you about how you stay motivated day in, day out, year in, year out. Starting with, face any setbacks and how did you recover from those and what did you learn from those?
Sure. I think the biggest setback in my career specifically was working for a leader that didn't support my growth and development. And the reason why it was a setback is that I'm an eternal optimist. I believe in the best elements of people. And I had a lot of blinders on to not realizing that the person I reported to really wasn't supportive of my career. And I fell victim to what's called the Queen Bee Syndrome, where you have a leader who believes that he or she can be the only person in that specific group to have success and uses their power and their influence to retaliate against or provide intimidation to folks that are up and comers. And so for me, it was learning very quickly who are my supporters, who are my detractors, and the way I was able to recover from that was mobilizing my sponsors, my mentors, those that knew the quality and the quantity of my achievements and my work, and mobilizing them to help further my credibility and strengthen my background so that I can overcome that particular experience. And so overcoming that really required accepting the fact that maybe not everyone is going to be supportive of you in your growth and development, but making sure that you're surrounding yourself with people that support, love, and want to help you grow.
Thank you. And in a follow-up question, how do you keep yourself motivated day in, day out, year in, year out?
Oh, I love that question. So I am a recovering nerd, and so I love reading, and that's what really keeps me motivated, learning about things within healthcare, but also staying close to what's happening in the industry adjacent to healthcare, staying current with what's happening in the news and really using that to be connected to the greater world around me. There's one concept that I always use, and it came from a book written by Christina Crook about JOMO, which is the opposite of FOMO. Many people are familiar with FOMO being the fear of missing out. JOMO is the joy of missing out, and that feeling that you have to attend every single social event or networking event, that you can really use that for self-care and miss out on events because you want to stay, you want to be with your family, you want to stay close to the things that are important to you, you want to have time for yourself. So what keeps me motivated is taking that time out for myself and focusing on self-care.
Oh, fantastic. And we love the concept of JOMO compared to FOMO, the joy of missing out, the choice not to do certain things. You can really focus on what's really important and what you want to do. We love that concept, Jamie. The biggest challenge you face currently, what do you see as the biggest challenge currently, whether professionally, personally, what do you see it as currently?
I think the biggest challenge I face currently is finding the optimal balance between not just work and personal, but not feeling, and I should say forgiving myself and embracing the fact that I might drop the ball. And I think as a rising professional, a rising executive, you can be very hard on yourself when it comes to being able to juggle all of the responsibilities you have at work and all the responsibilities that you have at home. We have to remember that we're all humans and we are inevitably going to make mistakes. We're going to drop the ball. And it's okay to actually drop the ball. In fact, there's a book by author Tiffany Dufu that talks about how she dropped the ball, and it was very liberating for her to not feel that she has to have everything perfect all the time. And so for me, the biggest challenge is embracing dropping that ball and learning from maybe prioritizing things differently or maybe putting things first that I may not have done before because it was more important to me at the time. So really focusing on dropping that ball, but learning from that and being able to prioritize in a way that makes sense for myself, for my family, for those that I love.
Thank you very much. And Jamie, if this is a great year, what will success look like this year if it goes well?
Well, I would have to say that my CEO, my president and CEO, Gene Woods, would probably say, and I would agree, that success this year would be creating that best-in-class model for integration. So as I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, we recently finalized our strategic combination with Navisant Health. And if you look at what's happening in healthcare with all of the consolidations that are happening, M&A continues to be one of the strategies that many health systems and hospitals are using to grow. But in a recent Modern Healthcare article, it's losing its luster. And the reason why it's losing its luster is because it's hard work. You're integrating back office, clinical, and most importantly, people. And integration is a very emotional human experience. So for me, success would be able to create that model with a fantastic team of leaders from both organizations that will change the narrative around integration to a more positive outlook in being able to bring organizations together to reduce the cost of care and improve operations.
Well, thank you. So you put first and foremost is this combination with Navisend this year and making sure that goes well in that integration. And the single most important thing you do in your role currently as director of strategy, and it might quite frankly be this Navisend integration. What do you view as the most important thing you do in your role currently?
I would say the most important thing I do in my role currently is leading people to change, because it is probably one of the most difficult things leaders can do and do well. When you think about strategy, strategic planning, integration, whatever you want to call it, there's the technical aspect, looking at growth numbers and percentage growth and return on investment and all of the technical aspects of what typical M&A would be. But the other side of that equation are the people, and being able to lead a group through meaningful change towards a common vision and providing a sense of urgency in addition to providing a sense of calm, especially with these new partnerships and how quickly healthcare is evolving. So my role as director of strategy is to develop those relationships. Probably the most single important thing in any integration is to have the right relationships with the folks that you're leading, knowing that this entire experience is emotion-based, it's human, it's meant to be a little bit difficult because you're dealing with people that have different feelings about the integration. So my role is to help champion that change, be a positive change agent, and both creating that sense of urgency, but that sense of calm and purpose going forward.
I'll tell you, Jamie, it's a pleasure visiting with you. I've gotten to know you over the last few years, and always tremendously positive, great communication skills, and extremely smart. So it just is a pleasure to visit with you today. We'll look forward to hearing this podcast, and then we'll look forward to having you as a guest again in the not-too-distant future. It's just always a pleasure to hear your thoughts and where you're coming from. Just great. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Scott.